One of the nation's most celebrated journalists says Michigan residents trying to find the best obtainable version of the truth today may learn lessons from those who searched for it in the past. Carl Bernstein joined Bob Woodward in exposing the Watergate scandal that drove former President Nixon from office. Bernstein writes about his start as a reporter in the now-defunct Washington Star newspaper in the new book, Chasing History, A Kid in the Newsroom. He tells WDET's Quinn Kleinfelter there's a thread connecting his time at the Star to the events chronicled in All the President's Men to the age of Trump and Biden.
I went to work at age 16 at perhaps the greatest afternoon newspaper in America. And even though this book is written from the point of view of the kid at the time, you can see the connection directly to All the President's Men and Watergate, because everything that I knew when Woodward and I started to cover the Watergate story, I was 28 and he was 29, I brought with me from the Star. The basic elements of the kind of reporting we did in Watergate, you see in this book as I'm learning them and getting to go out in the streets and alleys of the city and meet sources and make sure that the stories are pinned down with multiple sources, knocking on doors. So you, as well as this time in America, at a time of Jack Kennedy's election, which I actually covered parts of, his assassination, which I covered, the Civil Rights Revolution, which, you know, I was able to cover beginning when I was 16 and 17, the anti-war movement, the buildup in Vietnam, the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which now we see being obliterated by the Republican Senate of the United States. So the connections and resonance with today, it's all about the trade of news.
It's a very different time than now. I've talked to people that worked in older newsrooms. They would say that one of the things they missed going in was that they never heard the clacking of the typewriters anymore. You know, it's all on computer. It was a very visceral experience, it seems, back in the day.
Well, it was. The most visceral thing of all, though, is how you get out of the office, meet people, amazing people, your sources, you're learning about stories. That hasn't changed, except to the extent that in so many newsrooms today, we have too many people who use the internet particularly as an excuse not to do real reporting, what Woodward and I came to call the best obtainable version of the truth. But to get to that point of the best obtainable version of the truth, you can't do it with Google. You can't do it with Wikipedia. Those are great tools, and it'd been wonderful if during Watergate. We would have saved a lot of time if we could get background information so quickly. But you got to get out of the office. And there's less and less getting out of the office being done, as too many reporters today think, oh, get the story by going online, and don't do that persistence. Don't go visit people in their homes at night like we did in Watergate, like we did it at the Washington Star to get stories. Don't see them in their offices where they're under pressure from their bosses. At the time I went to work at the Star, I had 1 foot in the pool hall, 1 foot in the juvenile court, and 1 foot a little bit in the classroom.
There's some people that will say with the rise of citizen journalism that this is a renaissance of sorts, because anybody with a cell phone or a video can go out there and become, quote, a reporter.
No, I don't think it's a renaissance. I think that citizen reporting has a place, but it's not curated and presided over by anything but the citizen himself or herself. What happens at real news institutions is you have a chain of command. You have a set of standards, hopefully connected to the best obtainable version of the truth as the primary purpose of what you're doing in this news organization. And there might be some great stories done by citizen journalists, but there's also a lot of crap out there. And a lot of it is witness. It's not really reporting in the classic sense. It's not really journalism, but it's witness, and it's great to have. But you raise a point that gets to another, and that is how many people, consumers of so-called news and information, are not looking for the best obtainable version of the truth, but rather they're looking for information that reinforces what they already believe, their previously held ideological beliefs, political beliefs. They're not looking for anything except ammunition.
Yeah, here in Detroit, there's been so many people worried about the vaccine, in part because they have these various forms of information that will tell them things that, that, as you say, some of them want to hear, and others will say, well, that's fake news, and we can't believe what the government says, etc. Well, when you were doing Watergate, one of the things, at the beginning especially, was that you guys in the Post were out there pretty much on your own, and the White House was coming back and saying, you know, the Post, the McGovern campaign and their partners in crime, the Washington Post, and you guys were pretty well out there for quite a while by yourselves. How do you, especially in this day and age, but how did you back then, too, show that, that you had the best obtainable version of the truth?
We kept reporting day after day and got the information going to all these sources. Yes, the White House was very, and the Nixon people were very successful for a long time in making our conduct, Woodward, myself, Ben Bradley, the editor of the Post, making our conduct the issue in Watergate rather than the conduct of the president and those around him. We see the same thing happening in the Trump presidency and those who support Donald Trump. But what we did is we kept reporting. So after a month or two of denials from the White House about this third-rate burglary, we did a story that said there had been a secret fund that five people controlled that paid for the bugging at Watergate and other undercover activities. And so that chipped away at the White House denial. And more people came and said, oh, well, maybe there's more to it. Then we wrote a story in October, a few months after the break-in, that really made sense of Watergate, saying that it had been just one act in a vast campaign of political espionage and sabotage directed from the Nixon White House. Well, then that made the denials even less believable. What happened in Watergate is there came to be a consensus in the country about the truth of what we were writing.